Good Saturday afternoon. Welcome to another hour of Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I don't have Taylor with me today. You know, high school and schoolwork and some of the social stuff, you know, it gets in, from my standpoint, it gets in the way of doing the radio show. But I have to step back and say, look, you know, you're only 16 once. And you're only a junior in high school once. And there's things you've got to do, like make sure you do well on your, you know, schoolwork. Luckily, my girls both did that better than I did. And, you know, you got to let them have some fun. And so she was off last week because I was in Eufaula, Alabama at the Red Crest and got back and just schoolwork and some other stuff's come up. So give Taylor the day off. And I have to watch myself with Clifford because I'm have my good friend Clifford Weedman from Stanley Lures on. I have to watch out because, boy, I tell you, we can we love to give Taylor a hard time. So I'm gonna have to hold off and wait till she's here to defend herself next time Clifford's on the air with us. But yeah, you're in for a real treat. Clifford has gotten to be a good friend of mine. Works for Stanley, Lonnie Stanley and John Hale down in Huntington, Texas, and you know, he feeds me lures and Taylor lures and spinnerbaits and all. And, you know, every once in a while, it's nice to give back. And he actually, Clifford stepped in because originally we were trying to do some stuff with the USAC and the Corps of Engineers and on Crab Bank. And that didn't work out for this week. And so I called up with turkey season just around the corner. I called up Charles Ruth, and we were going to do some things with on turkey season. And when I talked to him, he was like, I should just, you know, rolling out of the turkey app and electronic reporting, and I just still up in the air on some of that stuff. I said, well, you know what, we'll just put that off. So we'll talk to Charles here hopefully next week and get the lowdown on turkey season. There's some changes and all, and we'll go through all that stuff at that time. So Clifford's, no, I just on the spur of the moment called Clifford, and Clifford's always fun and always ready to help out. So we're gonna have a good time. Probably the rest of the show. Probably the second we'll talk about fishing and stand lures. They came out with a couple new lures, a bladed jig that's just pretty cool, and I'm gonna throw it this weekend and see if we can't catch something on it. We haven't, you know, calendar events has been kind of slim, because things are just canceled. I mean, if you go to SEI Way, it's canceled. If you, you know, Palmetto Sportsman's Classics canceled, Seaweed canceled. It's just on and on. I hope maybe one next year, maybe we might get around to normal. They say ICAST is going to happen. I'm still waiting to see, make sure that's going to happen. But we do have a few things going on here in South Carolina, and so let's do a calendar of events brought to you by Vincent Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center. Tomorrow, Sunday the 7th, which is kind of an odd day to have it on, it's 6:30 a.m., the Roger Farr Benefit Bass Tournament on Lake Murray down at Drew Island State Park. Applications are accepted up to 30 minutes before blast-off, and there's a link to Google Form you can download it. So, you know, you can listen to this show and say, hey, let's go to Murray and go fishing tomorrow. Murray should be pretty good with the warm weather we've had. And do a benefit bass tournament. So the Roger Farr Benefit Bass Tournament, if you go to Facebook, that's where I found it. And as far as spelled F-A-R-R. And like I said, you can do it up until about 6 o'clock in the morning. So you want something to do on Sunday morning, there you go. Go do it. Coastal Expeditions is starting their Low Country Summer by learning the basics of sea kayaking and stand-up paddleboarding. It's a 4-week program, teaches kids 9 to 12 how to safely and effectively paddle in tidal saltwater creeks. They'll be steeped in pluff mud, know the magic of the salt marsh after learning the basics of our certified guides. Curriculum includes paddle strokes, proper kayak entrance exit, creating a float plan, caring for equipment, and more. Tuesdays 4 to 5:30. So if you got somebody that lives down in the Charleston area, Mount Pleasant, that sort of thing. So I actually missed the first ones of these. Sorry about that. It was March 2nd, 9th, 16th, and 23rd. But they got them April 6th, 13th, 20th, 27th, May 4th, 11th, 18th, 25th. if you're planning to cut your kid loose in the salt marshes of Charleston, probably not a bad idea to prepare them a little bit. DNR has done a great job during all this of still getting their stuff out. They've had virtual fishing clinics, virtual volunteer training, all sorts of stuff. I tuned into hog seminar the other day, took 3.5 pages of notes, and I was only in it for 1.5 hours, and it went on for a little longer, so I've got to get the last part of the show, that presentation, before we talk about hogs in South Carolina. This one's coming up March the 11th, 3 to 4. DNR Mariculture, Stocking Fish Species in South Carolina's Waters, hosted by the DNR. It is gotowebinar.com is the online registration. Thursday, March 11th, 2021. It's free. It's supposed to be 1 hour long. We stock, our DNR stocks, 1.3 million juvenile red drum in South Carolina Waters. They stock some other stuff too, so this is an opportunity for you to get some more information and know what we do here in South Carolina with fish stocking and all. And, you know, we got Waddell Mariculture Center down in Bluffton. And, you know, we've got another one in not the same thing there in Charleston. And so fish hatcheries across the state, this will be a good one for you. It's free. Again, March 11th from 3 to 4 afternoon. Register online. Haven't seen one of these, and this is great. Wild Game Supper. Presented by Fishers of Men Men's Ministry, Wild Game Appetizer, Hot Dog Supper at El Bethel Baptist Church in Greer, Saturday, March 13th, 6 to 8:30 p.m. Tickets are $10. Going to have New River Bluegrass. Derek Pendro is going to speak. Door prize is live music. Limited seating is available. Reserve your tickets now in advance. 350-4254 or via Facebook Messenger at El Bethel Baptist Church in Greer. And then finally, another fishing tournament. The Strike King 2021 Big Bass Challenge going to take place March the 14th. That's a Sunday. Lines in at 7:15 a.m. Wayside at Greer Island State Park, shelter number 15 in Prosperity, South Carolina. Weigh periods 8 to 9:56, 10 to 11:56, 12 to 1:56, and 2 to 3:56. 59, excuse me. It looks like a 6. Boy, I got to start holding these papers further out from my eyes. First prize, $1,500. Depending on how many anglers they got, the payouts are going to be. But, yeah, it's brought to you by Strike King Lose, Mammoth, Black Rifle Coffee, and Lucas Marine Products. Pro Night and Rod Pickup on-site registration is going to happen 3:13 from 3 to 6. At the shelter number 2 at Drew Island State Park. Going to be at Drew Island State Park myself here coming up, April the 22nd through the 25th. Going to stay there at the park while the Tackle Pro Warehouse Circuit guys are in town. Excuse me. If you've never been to Drew Island State Park, it's a treat. And if you see the park manager, Ellie Jones, well, he's a heck of a nice guy. And he's funny. He and I striper fish over some green lights, and haven't done that in a while. Need to get back down there. Maybe while I'm down there in April, we'll have a chance to do that. Had a great time, Eufaula. Congratulations to Dustin Connell for winning his first Red Crest. Anthony came in 8th. You know, I told Anthony at the ramp that morning. I said, "Dude, championship day." I said, "I'm gonna come down. I'm gonna be out there for the bitter end." Little did I know, the bitter end would include rain. Big drops of rain for like the last 20 minutes. But, hey, it is what it is. And had a good time. If you're in Eufaula, I love coming in Eufaula, Alabama, because you come in and it's the divided road, and you got the antebellum homes, and you got all the crepe myrtles in the middle of the road, and it's just a cool place. Cajun Corner is a good place to eat. El Jalisco's, you know, basic Mexican food. And, the donut place is really good. So, hang on. Back with more with Woods Otter. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Kind of odd doing it without Taylor. This is the second week in a row she hasn't been here with me. Of course, hey, she is 16. She is in high school. and school comes first, and sometimes the show just doesn't mesh in with that school, you know, the test schedules and all that stuff. So give her some break there, and Clifford, we can't hammer on her too much today, okay?
All right, maybe next time.
Next, she has to be here to defend herself. I'll at least give her that.
That's true.
Clifford's been on. Clifford Weedman lives in Texas. He's become a good friend of mine. I've been on the show a couple times. I know last year from the Classic you were on with Neil and I and Taylor. And got kind of a cool where you work is really cool. I'm envious. And we'll get into that a little bit. But, you know, I've had you on, but I've never had you kind of give your little story. And I'll give the punchline to everything about Clifford Weedman. That is cherry pie.
love my cherry pie.
You love your cherry pie. And that's funny. That's just it's one of those jokes, and it's cool because people send you cherry pies all over. I mean, Tony, where does he send you those cherry pies from? Like Michigan?
Oh yeah, Grand Traverse Pie Company, best pies in the country. They're amazing.
I guess the last time I was down there to see my little pie from the local grocery store, that's all I could go do at the time. But now that I know Grand Traverse Pie Company, I need to look them up.
Grand Traverse Pie Company.
And what is it about their cherries?
They're like from a certain part of Italy that date back to the Romans. To the Romans and this like special part of Michigan that they grow in. And they're just amazing. You just can't. It'll actually get you in trouble when someone says, is my pie as good as one that you talk about from Michigan? Wrong question.
Wrong question to ask Clifford.
Yep.
Because he's going to shoot you down every time.
How honest do you want me to be? Yep. I'm just saying there's something special about that cherry pie.
Okay. Well, if you're ever in Lufkin, Texas or Huntington, Texas now. Is it Huntington? Yeah. Isn't that where the shop is?
Yeah, Huntington. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Right there on the north end of Sam Raven.
And you wanna make an impression on Clifford, take him a cherry pie by Stanley Lures. And
you will leave with some free bait for sure. 100%
guaranteed. 100%
guaranteed.
I'll have to remember that when I'm down there towards the end of this month. But anyway, take a minute, and because you got a history in fishing industry and all, and now you're working at a great place. But take it just a minute, and introduce yourself to everybody.
My name's Clifford Weedman. I'm the current general manager for Stanley Jigs. I'm one of these kids that grew up like a lot of us watching back then. It was called TV, not YouTube, where we watched fishing as a kid, wanted to fish, read the magazines, had our fishing heroes, and just never got over that obsession. So here I am, 49 years old, still living the dream.
Living the dream.
One of the guys I used to watch and idolize growing up was a guy named Lonnie Stanley.
Yep.
And now I work for him. So how cool is that?
And today, earlier today, when I was talking to you, you were out fishing with him.
Yeah, actually, Lonnie and I were out on Sam Rayburn just having a good time. The weather was beautiful. We talked about everything. The guy has got so much knowledge. He's changed fishing. It's not work. It's really just awesome. Every day when I get up, I don't have work stress.
And y'all do the fishing thing quite often. Because it's all research and development, right?
Actually, you know, there is fishing involved, yes.
Yes.
But what I learned from him is just amazing. How long he's been doing it. I mean, he's been making jigs and spinnerbaits for over 40 years now.
Yeah.
But it's not just fishing. You are testing. You are feeling your comparison. It's never just making a cast and reeling it in. It's just so many evaluations going through your head at once. So. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And the latest thing, the racket blade is a pretty cool. We're going to talk about that. But you've gotten into a lot of underwater drone footage stuff too, which helps you develop this sort of thing, right?
It actually does. I mean, I leave the lure designing up to Lonnie Stanley and John Hale.
Okay.
Who also works with us. He's also a former Bassmaster Classic qualifier.
Yep.
And my job is to test it.
Okay.
I want to see how it moves underwater. I want to hear how it sounds underwater. I want to see how the fish react to it underwater. So I've got underwater drones. I use underwater GoPros. I use underwater cameras, GoFish cams with microphones on it. I've got camera lenses that shine above and below water at the same time. So it's really more technical than what you think. It really is.
And it's fun too.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Really okay, is. So you're on that side, and then, you know, we got a mutual friend, Anthony Gagliardi, and he was talking the other day that you're actually an engineering degree, Anthony, fishing his whole career. When he started his rod company, you actually taught him how to build a rod.
Yeah, actually it was. Anthony and I sort of had the groundwork started on getting a rod company as far as a side business from him. And we had some developmental rods going, and up and behold, he wins the Forest Wood Cup with them.
Right.
And it sort of bloomed from there. He called me up and says, hey, come show me how to make a rod, flew me down, and we spent 3 days teaching him how to give him the crash course on building a fishing rod from scratch.
Which, if most people don't know, you order the blanket. It doesn't come with the guides on it.
No.
Or the handles. You got to put all that stuff on it, and then the feel, you know, how does Correct. It work?
Absolutely. And that's something Anthony, if y'all ever know Anthony, he doesn't do anything halfway. He is so particular. Everything has to be so perfect for him. So when he builds a fishing rod himself, it's perfect.
Yeah, it is.
Really does. But it's pretty fun.
Cool. And then you got connections out on the West Coast, man. You go out there salmon fishing?
Oh, yeah. The Batson Group, where we build all the components for the rods, are up in Northwest Washington. I mean, you can see Canada, and you go so far west, you have to start going south. So absolutely beautiful up there, for sure.
Gosh, I don't know how to, but I mean, working with John and Lonnie, I mean, there's got to be some stories in there somewhere. You got a good one that you can just kind of throw out there?
You know, with Lonnie being popular as he was in his day, he got to meet lots of people.
Right.
And he tells a story where he went deer hunting with Hank Parker. And the other guy that joined him on the hunt was a NASCAR driver by the name of Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, gosh.
And he was talking about how Hank Parker and Dale were talking about who was the fastest, and talking about they were out there having foot races to see who was the fastest person. And they said later on, Hank was trying to demonstrate his driving skills and rolled a Suburban out there on the deer lease.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, those are just stories that, you know, that you don't hear, that you don't even think that you'd hear about. But, right. Yeah, highly entertaining for sure.
Oh, my gosh. And then last year when we were down there, well, it wasn't last year. It was the year before last. It's been, I guess, November, a year and a half ago now.
Yeah.
We were down and we all got to go fishing together out there on Kurth Lake. And, you know, 42 degrees, rain, catching fish on topwater plugs. And Keith Combs out there with us, soaked. Everybody was soaked to the bone. And then the next day, we get to fish with John Hale, and you were over there on the boat with Lonnie and his grandson. I mean, it's just, it's funny how, I mean, you're there, you live it, and I just kind of come in and out. And I look back on those days, and I'm like, was that really real? Was I really there with Lonnie and John in the shop, them showing me what all they make and stuff like that? It's, I will say, This radio gig takes you some really cool places, and Texas is one of them.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. We really do. Like I said, I don't consider this work. It's just, it's an enjoyment every day. I wake up and I'm ready to go to work, and I don't look at the clock when I go home. You know, sometimes I'm there until 6 o'clock, 7.
Yeah.
It's just a blast. It really is just, I don't know, a dream come true.
You know, we just had some weather. Of course, they moved the Major League Fishing's Red Crest. They went from, you know, Tulsa, and they moved it to the Lake Palestine because of
ice.
Well, no, they moved it from Tulsa to Palestine because of they couldn't have but half the crowd in Tulsa if they were going to have an expo. So they moved it down to Palestine, and then, of course, you guys had, you know, a 40-year storm down there, and they had to move it to Eufaula here a couple weeks ago. Now, they had the big fish kill on the coast. I mean, it's, you know, I've seen pictures coming out of some of the coastal areas of Texas just devastating the trout and redfish and all. Texas is known for its bass fishing. Do you think the cold and the ice and all is going to affect the bass fishing at all, or do you think those fish will be fine?
The fish themselves are fine. There is a concern about the threadfin shad population. They don't do very well under 40 degrees.
Okay.
Any lakes that had any type of tilapia in them that weren't hot water discharge,
yeah,
those tilapia have died.
Oh, really?
Yes. So the bald eagles have been really getting really fat around a lot of lakes around here that had tilapia in them just because of the sudden temperature change.
Wow. And then, you know, on the heels of that, you tell me, and we got about a minute and a half here, you tell me that O.H. Ivy Lake is like the newest place to go in Texas for like over 10 pounders.
Oh, not over 10 pounds, over 13 pounders. It's just, I mean, you got people catching two 12s in a boat, and then his partner catches a 16. One guy catches two guys in a boat, each one of them catch a 14 pounder. One guy catches a 13 pounder. A couple days later, he catches a 15 pounder. The smallmouth record, Luke Duncan, caught like a one over close to seven. And then another guy catches a 7 pounder and one over seven. Then the guy that works for him in a different boat within an hour breaks that record. So it's just absolutely going crazy. So, and now they're thinking that those smallmouth might actually be a type of hybrid between a largemouth and a smallmouth. So the lake is going absolutely crazy. Never seen a lake like that in Texas start pumping out fish that quick in that short period of time.
Good gracious alive.
And then our other lakes, we've got, you know, Lake Travis got 15 pounders, and Rayburn's got a share lunker. So anything over 13 pounds is considered a share lunker bass.
Which is why you go to Texas, because truly everything in Texas is bigger. So, all right.
Including the ego.
Including the ego. That's right. There's a reason for it, and you've earned it. Y'all hang on. We're going to take a break, Clifford. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side.
In Fuego.
I've got a bite.
Sounds like maybe you shouldn't be with any girl. You should be with a fish.
I've thought about that.
You know, as a final thought today, I was thinking, why can't these people just get along?
I hope you're happy, Brad.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you're having a good day. It's spring. I think spring is here, although I have this thing, and I don't know if I can lay my hands on it, but it's a thing about South Carolina weather. I mean, Clifford, y'all's weather kind of is just warm and then hot, and, you know, it's pretty predictable, except for, like, every 40 years when y'all get storms and ice and snow and all. I think of the thing about South Carolina weather, and it's like we're in the second fault spring or something like that. Because our weather up here has been it's starting to get really nice in the 60s. Now, what is it down there in Texas?
Well, let's see. We just recovered. We were in pre-spawn.
Okay.
So, and we were in the 60s. It was feeling good. And then next thing you know, we broke temperatures dated back to the 1930s, where I woke up one morning, it was 5 degrees, was under freezing for 5 days. And a week later, we've got the air conditioning back on. So
you do have power and you do have hot water.
Yes, hot water. I love hot water now. So you don't understand what it's like to go 6 days without hot water.
Well, yeah, we a few years back, we had a big ice storm up here, and it knocked out power and everything. So, yeah, we know. We just – you appreciate it much more after you've done without it for a few days. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, the sound of water coming out of your shower head versus underneath your bathtub is amazing, yes.
Oh, man. That was you know, when you sent all the pictures and the videos of the snow and all, I'm like – I was really jealous until you, like, told me you're – you know, y'all don't have insulation in the walls and, you know, no hot water, no power at all. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just stay here. Fish Stanley. FishStanley.com. That's where you need to go. And we're going to take the next segment and however long it takes and talk about some of the lures y'all produce. I mean, I've got a whole bag of stuff. Taylor's got more stuff upstairs. You've been extremely gracious to us and sending us stuff as things roll off the lines. And I don't get to fish as much as I want to. I'm trying to remedy that. So when something like this comes out, it's really cool to get you on because you're like in the helped, you know, like you said, they designed it. You went out and tested it. You sent me the videos of the test stuff. And it's really cool stuff. But and we're talking about the Racket Blade, which is the newest, I guess you want to call them a bladed jig.
Sure.
Is that what we call them?
Yeah, that's what we're going to call them.
That's what we're going to call them. And it seems like, you know, I just talked to Anthony about this last week on the show because he was on a podcast, Bass 360 or something like that, and they were talking about fishing bladed jigs, and he was saying how he liked to fish it on a 7-foot glass. He makes it as a fiberglass rod, and he talks about how maybe it sounds different to the fish, the action is different. From what you sent me on the Racket Blade, this is different from any other bladed jig, and I want to talk to you a little bit because I got some questions on it. How long does it take to roll something like this out?
This was actually probably about a 7-month project.
Okay.
It really was. It started out, Stanley had a little prototype. We went to Raver, and I'm running the boat. He's sitting in the back, and he's absolutely just whacking them. I mean, just beating my behind, and I'm using one of his premier spinner baits.
Okay.
So I'm just like, hey, we need to look at this. So once you get an idea, then you have to start getting prototypes. And then you have to start getting your parts together, your price accumulations. And then you have to go and you have to test all your parts. And then you have to retest it. Then you send it out to other people, see what they think. And then once you think you've got something, then you go back and you start filming it underwater. Does it really do what it says it does? Does it move right? Does it sound right? And it's really technical. Then you have to make adjustments to the parts that you want on there. So the Racket Blade was actually, the finished version was actually the fifth version.
The fifth version?
The fifth version, yes. We had to keep making changes to get it to where we wanted it to be.
I mean, I'm looking at it, and it first of all, you don't tie, there's a split ring between the blade and the actual lure itself.
Right.
The blade, instead of having just one wire that runs through it and ties on, it has like a, it's still got one loop, but then it's got like a section that's parallel, and you've got some, would you call those noisemakers? I mean, what would you call those?
Yeah, that's actually two little balls on there that actually make a noise sort of similar to a trap.
Okay.
Underwater trap. I spent lots of time filming in one of my friend's swimming pools. saying, you know, Lonnie's like, oh, this makes all this noise underwater. I'm like, well, let me test it.
Okay.
So I had him build some without balls on it.
All right.
I had him build some with two different size balls on it. And it actually does make a lot of noise like the trap. The ones without the balls on it actually just sort of hums a little bit. So it actually makes a lot of noise to the point that we filed a patent on it.
And it does. I mean, you sent me the comparison videos with the underwater footage and the sound on, and it is louder.
Right. The camera that I filmed that on has no volume control on it.
Okay.
So what you hear is what it is. You can't turn it down, turn it up. So you do get a true comparison on what this bait makes, and it does put off a lot of noise underwater.
I've got one that's doesn't have a weed guard on it, and one that does have a weed guard on it.
Yes, that is two versions that we like. The popular version is without a weed guard on it.
Okay.
However, on that weed guard, we did five different types of wire on it. You can throw this bait in the hydrilla, let it sit there and crank it through it, and it's going to come through it, which is something that bladed jigs aren't known to do.
Right.
I mean, you get them and that type of stuff, they're just going to bring up a bunch of vegetation with them. But you will actually be impressed by that titanium alloy type weed guard on it.
Okay. The big rage in bladed jigs. I mean, you know, spinnerbaits, you were just talking that you were fishing a spinnerbait and Lonnie was wearing you out with a bladed jig. When am I going to throw these I mean, is this a year-round deal? I mean, here in South Carolina, it could be different than it is in Texas.
Right, true. For us in Texas, our bladed jig is, the racket blade, for example, is good during pre-spawn. Like okay. Right now, when the fish first start moving them up, when they get on the shallow ledges, all the way to post-spawn. And then once they move out deep, it's really not as popular unless you're in a shallow type lake or a little bit off colored where your fish typically stay shallow all year.
Okay.
Is your prime time.
What's your favorite rod? I mean, Anthony talks about throwing a glass rod. What do you throw it on one of his glass rods? You got another rod you like to throw it on?
No, actually I do. That glass rod that he talks about, it's really awesome. It's got a long backbone with a very, very soft, bouncy type tip to it, which does give it a lot of movement on it and a lot of feel on it. And it's, like I said, it's very strong, but once you use it, when you use that type of rod, you'll agree that it's a good rod. It's also a good rod that you can use for like small square bill type crankbaits. It just gives a lot of side to side action.
Yeah. I know when the first time I think I ever threw a bladed jig and I picked it up and you chunk it out there and you start whining and you vibrate too. You know, the vibration comes through that rod and into the handles and all that. And I was like, I don't like this very much. And I'm going to throw this actually this weekend. We're going fishing. And I'm going to throw this. Taylor's going to throw one. I might throw the other one. Am I going to feel less of a vibration through that glass rod?
No, you're going to feel a lot of vibration.
A lot of vibration. Okay.
Yeah. You're going to feel it shake up in front of the reel seat. The whole rod's going to have lots of vibration to it.
Oh, how much is it? Okay, so it comes in, three sizes?
3/8, half ounce, and 3/4.
And a myriad of colors. I mean, one I've got here is like a chartreuse and white with a chartreuse head. Then I've got, I guess what you call this is a Texas red. Is that what y'all call it out there?
We call it Rayburn red.
Rayburn red. That's it. Rayburn
red.
Where does that come from?
Some lake near to us called Sam Rayburn.
With Sam Rayburn?
Yeah.
But why is red so popular on Sam Rayburn?
It always is. I mean, if you grew up on Sam Rayburn, you're throwing a rattle trap in Rayburn red, some type of red, ripping it out of grass. And it's always good this time of year. I mean, always produces good fish.
And that is one thing that y'all have that we don't is grass.
Yes. I mean, we have lots of hydrilla.
Y'all have grass. I remember one of the first times I ever went to Florida fishing, and I think it was one of those ICAST cups that FLW used to put on. And, you know, I never having fished much grass, man. Every time I hit a blade of hydrilla, you know, I was trying to set the hook on, and I caught more hydrilla that day than anything. But y'all have grass. We don't.
Grass is our friend. It's habitat. It's oxygen in the water. It's water clarity. It's structure for small fish. I mean, it's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Well, we didn't get to a whole lot. We're gonna take another break if you got time to hang through.
Sure.
And we're gonna get some of the other stuff: the Viber shaft, the Viber wedge, spinner baits, and some other stuff. And then I want to ask you about fishing in Texas because, you know, I like to come down there and go fishing. I'm sure other people travel. So let's take a break. We're going to come back more with my good friend Clifford Weaven from Stanley Lures. Y'all hang on. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope you can't hear it, but Sophie's in the background snoring. Oh, she just woke up and looked at me. Go back to sleep, girl. You irritate me sometimes when you snore. You can't hear it, can you, Clifford?
No, okay. Not yet.
She gets a little loud at times, like me. I guess we're both getting old. Well, we've hit on a little bit of the history of, you know, and working for Lonnie and John and the racket blade, which y'all just came out with, which is available. And I'm going to throw one this weekend and What kind of trailer would I fish on this?
The one that we like the best is actually the Kitech Slim. It's a slim type trailer.
The slim swims.
Yeah, the slimmer the trailer, the more it keeps the bait from rising up in the water column as you reel it. So you don't really want the real fat one. You just want the slim one, and that'll actually keep the bait down. Correct.
I don't think I have any slim Kitex. I do have some Zoom swimmer. I think there's are they swimmers? Anyway, Zoom last year came out with a thin body one that I could throw on this that I've got out there, so I can use that. All right. So now I know what I'm going to throw this weekend. Okay, spinnerbaits. Something I used to love to throw. I don't throw them much anymore, although I pulled out one of yours last year and slap wore them out one day because I remembered that in the fall, white spinnerbaits around structure.
Correct.
And I was right. I caught like 6 or 7 on one of your white spinnerbaits. You know, there's when you get a Stanley spinnerbait, it's going to be vibra shaft, vibra wedge. And I think that's due to something that Lonnie did with these where he tapered the shaft. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Okay.
What he realized real quick was that the thinner the wire, the more vibration your spinnerbait has, that more vibration through the blades and everything like that. So what they did is they came out with something called a vibra shaft, which is you have a thicker wire going up to the bend from where you tie your line to the spinnerbait.
Right.
That gives you strength. And then the wire would taper going to your blades, which gave you vibration.
Okay.
Therefore, the phrase vibra shaft.
Vibra shaft. So you got a vibra shaft, and then you got the vibra wedge. So is the vibra shaft on the vibra wedge too?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And then explain to us the wedge part.
The Stanley's been known for that, for the wedge, when they said the wedge spinnerbait. And that's actually a blade that's thin where you put your where the front part of the blade is.
Okay.
And as you go towards the back, it actually gets thicker. So it gives you a lot more thump and water displacement. And that was actually a project that Lonnie and Rick Klun worked on.
There's another name in history of bass fishing, Rick Klun.
Absolutely.
God, man, throwing out some pretty hard hitters here. And you've got, I mean, I've got all sorts. I've got, you know, your normal shad cover with gold blades, and I've got red in here with painted blades. I guess you'd call that the Rayburn red again.
Correct.
Yeah, in fact, on the back, Toledo gold. Oh, get out of here.
That's another red version of the of the spinnerbait. They do come in the Rayburn red, which is new for this year.
Okay, all right, cool. So as I dig around in my back here, I've got those kind, and I've got some dirty water stuff.
Yes.
Talk to me about the dirty water. Those are painted blades.
Yeah, the dirty water is actually something that kicked off around that Arkansas, Oklahoma area. And what it is your first little kicker blade is actually painted.
Okay.
The orange is probably the most popular. And then you have like a chartreuse or a red one like that. And then it's got your standard color blade on most of them on the back. But that type of blade is real popular in off-colored water.
Okay.
Right here, it's real good in smallmouth, but another real popular bait in that pre-spawn, post-spawn type area when the fish are up shallow. It's just really popular, and a lot of people just love that bait.
And it's if you like, I don't like Carolina rigging. I try to slow down when I'm fishing with a jig, but throwing a spinnerbait is something. I mean, it's a cast, reel, and retrieve, you know, cast, reel, and retrieve. You can steady retrieve it. You can give it a pop. I mean, it's something that'll keep you going. If you don't like sitting there waiting for the bass to hit, bite your lure, you can throw something like this, and it keeps you active, keeps you involved.
Yeah, and, you know, and one of the tips that we like doing with spinnerbait is we like to crash that bait into something. As soon as you make contact with something or come close to some type of cover is when typically you're going to get your arm yanked pretty good.
Is that when you rip it into it?
Yep. Just bump it, make contact, let it flutter down. I mean, whatever it takes. Just don't throw it out there and just reel it straight in. Jerk it, snatch it, let it fall, rise it up, something. That's when you're going to trigger a lot of strikes.
You know, you mentioned something there about fluttering blades. last year, or when we were there in November of 19, I guess, fishing with John, we were fishing with the twin spin, which you don't see much of those up here, but evidently they do well in Texas. But I mean, instead of just the one blade with, I mean, one arm with two blades, it was two arms and two smaller blades. And we're always fishing that thing vertical.
Yep. The twin spin is actually what I tell people. I was like, man, if your arm gets tired for throwing a super deep crankbait,
okay,
that's a good alternative because you can keep that bait on the bottom. It's got two titanium wires on it. You can hop it through brush piles. I mean, it just doesn't wear you out. It's a great crankbait alternative. And you can, like I said, fish right near the bottom and right through structure.
And we caught a lot of fish on it. Of course, we were in a lake that had a lot of fish in it. Yeah.
Yep.
He saw me take the picture. Jigs. Something that Lonnie, I mean, when you talk about Lonnie Stanley, that is him, the jig, fishing the jigs. And what fish was it that got caught on the Stanley jig?
Oh, yeah. The famous Ethel.
Ethel.
That was at Otis Pro Shops forever. Yeah. That's actually the largest bass caught in Texas on artificial bait.
Oh, my gosh. There's a story there.
Yes.
Do tell.
When Lonnie started his business, he was a heavy construction worker, wanted to build baits for a living, got his wife's blessing, placed an order to build his first baits, and the supplies showed up a little bit early. And Lonnie told the guy, says, I don't have the money to pay for it. I'll have it this next week. Well, he didn't know how he was going to get the money, so he went out, fished a tournament, won it, and then had the money to pay for his first shipment of materials to start Stanley Jigs, and the rest is history.
Why are jigs such a staple in bass fishing?
When you think jigs, you just think of that big bite bait. You don't fish it fast. For most cases, it just produces big bass. I guess it's just the flared out profile. But when you get that thump, you never forget it on there.
Oh, no, you don't. You don't.
Nope.
Because you're fishing it slow. You know, you're just kind of hopping it or dragging it. And, yeah, most of the time you don't have to worry about whether it's a fish or not.
Nope. Not at all.
FishStanley.com, if you want to look at the racket blade, you want to look at the vibra shaft stuff, you got pocket worms on there, you got rivets, pretty much anything you could want, you've got. You got creature baits, too.
We do. We've got a few baits. We're working on some new things, too, so we got to keep that under wraps, but hopefully we can release some of that information soon.
Okay. We got about, 3 minutes left. You know, I enjoy coming out to Texas and fishing with you. I hope to do it towards the end of this month. And people travel to fish, and Texas is one of those lakes just known. I mean, you got Sharelunker program out there. You were just talking about OH Ivy. What are some of the weights they're pulling off of Rayburn in a tournament right now?
We've already had a 39-pound stringer weighed in. We've already had a 40-pound stringer weighed in. You know, we've already had a Sharelunker weighed in. So 30 pounds doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win at all. You may come up 10 pounds short right now. So nice problem to have.
How is it that Texas has such big bass?
What's unique, I was actually speaking to one of our ex-congressmen, state representatives, and actually we have a lot of fish hatcheries, and they're actually all funded through the sale of fishing licenses.
Okay.
So all that money that you pay for your annual fishing license, which is not much in Texas, all goes back into the fish hatcheries. And there's a lot of science in there that they're spending on producing big bass. Just like people breed big deer,
right?
We breed big bass.
Is it fairly easy? Now, I know Texas lakes are shallow. I mean, we talked about when they were coming to Palestine, you know, you're going to leave a few lower ends out there on the lake. I know Ray Roberts, where the Classic is coming in June. I've been on that lake, and it's absolutely terrifying once you get past the post that marked the cleared area. Is it fairly easy for somebody to come out there and go fishing and catch fish?
It is. You just sort of have to plan it towards the maximum time. actually, in Texas, we only have one man-made lakes. So when you look at Texas and see all those lakes, only one of them up in far northeast Texas is actually man-made. So
wow.
You want to pay attention to the lake itself, the water conditions and stuff. You know, we have lake chips that show you how to run most of those lakes without ruining your day on the water.
When you come to Texas, are you going to fish spinnerbaits, or you have a crankbait season? Do you have a soft plastic season like everybody else?
It actually depends upon the lake. The shallower the lake, the more you're going to fish spinnerbaits year round. You know, the deeper the lake, the more you're going to throw a lot of jigs down there. So, you know, if there's some type of fishing you want, we've got it. It varies from South Texas to Central Texas to East Texas.
Gosh, I had an idea there that just kind of crossed my head and was gone. I can't think of it now. Oh, God, it was really good though. oh man, I got just under a minute left. Any final words?
Yeah, I just want to tell all our customers that support us, thank you for supporting us. We are a American-made company. We make all our baits right there, and we take a lot of pride in that. So I want to thank everyone that supports that type of business. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you and what you send us every once in a while, and we'll try to put it to use. And with that, folks, thanks, Clifford.
Thank you.
We'll do this again. And, folks, as always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. Make time to get out on the water and go bass fishing this year. You won't regret it. We'll see you back next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.